Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on the RTC Weekly Download. Today we have comedy starting off with The Fred Allen Show. This is called How is the Housing Shortage Affecting You? It's from 1945.
It isn't Gabriel Heater, kiddies.
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guests, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And if anybody cares who I am, my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, since the war ended, we've all been waiting for the return of the things we've missed. Mm-hmm. Tonight, we bring you one of the things nobody's missed, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Kenny, I've been away from radio quite a long time. I guess everything has changed.
No, Fred, things in radio are about the same.
Oh, really? About the same? Have they found out who the mystery chef is yet?
No.
They haven't? How about One Man's Family? Have there been any additions to one?
No, Fred.
What about Portia? Has she turned around yet?
No. Portia is still facing life.
In a rut, huh? Say, tell me, Kenny, is that old gentleman still on the air every week? You know the old fellow with the...
Oh, you mean just plain Bill?
No, Bill wasn't his name.
Pa Perkins?
No, not Pa Perkins.
Singing Sam?
No, not Singing Sam. You're warm, though. This old guy had a valet named Manchester or Portchester. I've been away so long.
Oh, you mean Jack Benny.
Jack Benny, the octogenarian. And how he can play it. He's the guy. Is he still on the air?
Oh, yes.
Really? It's remarkable what those one-a-day vitamins can do. A guy his age,
yeah,
after
well,
all.
Is Jack old?
Is he old? A friend of mine saw Mr. Benny in swimming this summer. He thought that Benny was wearing a blue corduroy suit.
And it wasn't a blue corduroy suit.
No. Benny is so old now, his veins are outside of his skin. His face has more wrinkles than a seersucker suit on the closing day of a revival. Almost didn't get that out. Well, if he really... Gosh, Portland, how did you... I heard you singing as the program opened. Awfully good. How did you sense I was back on the air again?
Mama heard a rumor. You know how fast bad news travels.
Oh, yeah. What's new, Portland?
I thought you might need some new jokes for your program.
Well, don't tell me that you have contrived some specimens of waggery.
Did you hear about the soldier who ate 5 dozen oysters and got discharged from the army?
Ate 5 dozen oysters and got discharged from the army?
Yes. He had 60 glue points.
Oh, fine. It wouldn't work with clams, would it? But that joke... You know, that joke sounds like something off the bottom of Can You Top This?
Fell on Japan, the emperor doesn't wear a crown.
No, what does the emperor wear?
An Adam's hat.
An Adam's hat. You should put dry ice on that joke instantly, Portland. It won't keep a minute. And speaking of minutes, any minute we'll be leaving now for Allen's Alley.
Oh, what is your question tonight?
Well, one of the greatest problems facing the country today, of course, is housing. Here in New York City, thousands of people are looking for places to live. And so our question is, how is the housing shortage affecting you?
Shall we go?
As one B-29 said to the other, let's take off. Ah, Portland, it sure is good to be back down here in Allen's Alley.
I wonder if the same people still live here.
Well, there's only one way to find out. I'll knock at this first door again.
Somebody, I say somebody knocked. Who was it?
Pardon me, mister.
Senator Claghorn's the name. Claghorn, that is.
Senator Claghorn?
I'm from the South, the deep South.
From way down south,
huh? Yeah, I'm so far down south that my family's treading water in the Gulf Stream.
Hey, that is south, isn't it?
Yeah, where I live, we call the people from Alabama Yankees.
Well, I don't know...
Don't butt in when a body's talking, son. Try listening. try listening. You're bound to learn something.
Well, look, Senator...
Anything gets me down, it's two people trying to talk at the same time.
Well, I know, but...
I got the floor, son. Don't try no filibuster.
Now, look, Senator, what about the housing shortage down there in Washington?
I stop at a hotel.
Oh, you actually have a room?
What room?
You mean,
For $20 a day, they give me a chair in the lobby and a sleeping pill. Pill, that is.
What is the housing problem coming to, Senator?
There's only one solution.
And that is?
Close up the OPA.
Well, what will happen if we close the OPA?
There'll be millions of ceilings left over.
Yes?
You put four walls under them ceilings, you got houses. So long, son. So long, that is.
You know, I think the senator's got something there. Got something there. I wonder what a knock at this next door will bring.
Howdy, bub.
Oh. You're,
Titus Moody's my name.
Titus Moody?
Moody by name, moody by nature.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, has the housing shortage bothered you any?
Yeah, that's why I had to leave the farm, bub.
Really?
Yeah. The land was so poor, you'd have to use 20 sacks of fertilizer to raise a tune on it.
Gosh.
Cows were so weak, they used to travel in pairs.
The cows had to travel in pairs?
Yeah. Took two cows to pull up a blade of grass.
The land was dry, was it?
Dry? I didn't see no water for 20 years.
20 years?
One day it rained.
Yes?
When the first drop of water hit me, I fainted.
Yes?
Yeah, they had to throw two buckets of dust in my face to bring me to.
Gosh, how did you cope with the housing problem, Titus?
Why, I ordered one of them two-room houses from Sears Roebuck, but it didn't help.
You mean when Sears Roebuck delivered the two-room house?
Sears was living in the front room, and Roebuck was living in the back. So long, bub.
Well, if I... If farmers can't find houses, I guess traveling salesmen will just have to keep on traveling. And that brings us to another door.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Emperor Shapiro Hito?
Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about the housing shortage?
Thanks to the housing shortage, today Pansy Nussbaum is enjoying connubial bliss, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yes, about... Well, what happened? What happened, Mrs. Ann?
Is flocking to mine house relatives.
Relatives?
Blood relatives. Relatives without blood.
Say, you must have a full house.
Full? And the couch is sleeping two Rappaports, cousins.
Uh-huh.
And the dining room table is sleeping four Weinsteins.
All four of them on one table?
They are half-brothers. It is making only two.
Oh, well. I see.
In the bathtub is sleeping Ben Schwartz, an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And top Uncle Ben is the little Pinker's boy. He is floating on the water.
Oh. The Pinker's boy is a good swimmer?
A human sturgeon.
Oh, really? Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, with all your relatives jamming the house, didn't your husband get mad?
Mad? One morning, Pierre is putting on his beret. He is taking his Molly Pecan records.
Took his pecan records with him, huh?
And he is stamping out.
Your husband left you?
For 2 weeks, I am a widow.
Well, what happened?
One night, is coming on the door and knocking. Pitter-pat, pitter-pat.
Pitter-pat. Your husband?
Mine, Pierre, is back.
Oh, it was true love. Pierre couldn't live without you.
Love, schmove. Pierre couldn't find a room.
Well, here we are near the end of the alley. I wonder who lives here.
Hello, hello, we're here to say hello. Not howdy do, not polly boo, but just hello.
Now, wait a minute, look. But just a minute, who are you boys?
We're McGee and McGee, we're songwriters.
What songs have you written?
Have you heard? We're looking for the guy that began the beginning to see if we can get him to stop it.
No.
Have you heard? When my baby smiles at me, I wish she'd put in her teeth.
Please, tonight, it so happens we're discussing the housing shortage.
We just wrote a housing shortage song.
A housing song? How does it go?
Hit it, Sam.
The situation's serious. It may get worse by spring. We mean the housing shortage, and that is why we sing. East side, west side, all around Broadway. You can't find a place to live, no matter what you pay. Hotels and apartments are crowded everywhere you walk. If it gets any worse, we'll all be sleeping on the sidewalks of New York.
Thank you very much, McGee and McGee. And now, ladies and gentlemen, meet the DeMarco sisters, five talented youngsters we are happy to welcome as a regular feature on our program. Tonight, they sing for you, It's Gotta Be This or That, girls.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't dark, it's light. If you ain't sure, you might. Gotta be this or that. If it ain't full, then it's blank. If you don't spend, then you bank. If it ain't Bing, it's Frank. Gotta be this or that. Who can it be if it ain't me? I know it's not your brother. Can't you see it's gotta be one way or the other? Tell me what I must know. If you don't like, I'll go. If it ain't yes, it's no. Gotta be this. Or that, who can it be? Can't you see it's gotta be one way or t'other? Tell me what I must know. If you don't like, I'll go. Da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum. Gotta be this or that.
Goodman and his orchestra have just played June is Busting Out a Little Bit. There wasn't time enough for June to bust out all over. And now, what's the trouble, Portland? You look bewildered.
Well, I was was just wondering, how did you get back into radio, Mr. Allen?
How did I get back?
You didn't work for a year.
Didn't work? Why, last year I was the backbone of Radio Portland incognito. For 2 months I filled in when Bulldog Drummond had distemper. I can thank only one person for this job, Portland. Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie McCarthy?
Uh-huh. I heard the orchestra playing Edgar's theme song. On my way out, I heard voices, somebody arguing in one of the dressing rooms. Well, I put my ear to the keyhole. It was Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Edgar was saying...
That's the last straw, Charlie.
I'll keep your shirt on, Bergen.
Why, Charlie, the idea of you leaving me to go with Fred Allen, why, that's ridiculous.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This is my reward after I've given you the best years of my life.
Well, at your age, you should be glad to unload those years on anybody.
What has Fred Allen got that I haven't got?
Nothing. But he spends a little of it once in a while.
Well, if you think Allen pays higher wages, you're sadly mistaken.
His program went off the air because pellagra broke out among his cast. Allen isn't hiring me, Bergen. I'm hiring Allen.
Oh, I see.
If anybody's going to be underpaid, I will do the underpaid.
So you're going to have your own show?
You heard me. Your ears don't lap over.
Now, wait. Why, you little whippersnapper, you...
Ah, your father's nice dad.
No, no, listen, no, Charlie. Oh, God.
And then, Mr. Allen.
Well, I knew Charlie McCarthy was in the dressing room alone, so I opened the door. Mr. McCarthy. Psst, psst. Mr. McCarthy.
It's no use crawling back, Bergen. Oh, it's you, Fred Allen.
Yes.
Well, you're just the man I want to see.
Say, I heard the argument, Mr. McCarthy. What's on your mind?
Well, you need a job. I need a partner. What are we waiting for?
But Mr. McCarthy, Edgar's my friend.
Friend? Do you know what Bergen's been saying about you?
Why, no.
Bergen said you were so cheap that when you brought a pint of blood to the Red Cross, you made him give you a deposit on the bottle.
I'm cheap? Why, Bergen, with that pot belly?
Yeah.
He only raised that abdominal bulb so he could keep his pants up without having to buy suspenders.
Oh, Allen, you look better to me every minute. Boy, what I went through with that cheapskate.
Why, Bergen... Bergen is tighter than the top olive in a bottle. He is over penurious, I sometimes say.
I like the word. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
I can break it up. You might understand part of it, Charlie.
I like it better. Those ready-to-wear suits he'd buy with two pair of pants. Then he'd have a tailor and make me a suit.
Oh, your suits were tailor-made.
Yeah, out of the second pair of pants, yeah.
You mean that suit you have on now was once a pair of Bergen's pants?
Well, look at the coat. The lapels have cuffs on them.
Lapels with cuffs,
yeah.
Huh?
And all my coats have zippers down the back.
But, Mr. McCarthy, if we team up, do you think we can get any work?
Stick with me, Allen, and we'll go places in radio.
Oh, Mr. McCarthy.
Oh, come, come. Stop licking my hand.
With you, Mr. McCarthy, will I get laughs?
Well, Charlie knows the sponsor, and Charlie gets the laughs.
But, Mr. McCarthy, all my life I've been a comedian. I've gotten laughs.
If Henry Kaiser can reconvert, so can you.
Yes, sir, I promise not to get any laughs.
Yeah. When I started with Bergen, he promised not to get any laughs, too.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that's just the only promise he ever kept.
Well, now that that's all settled, is there anything else, Charlie?
Well, Charlie?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. McCarthy.
Better.
It was a slip, honest, Mr. McCarthy. I didn't mean I just... I just lost my head there for a second.
It's quite all right. It's quite all right. I'm not a snob, you understand. But I am the star of the program.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And between the star and the stooge, certain class distinctions must be observed.
Yes, master. I shall remember.
I'll be on your knee, it's true, but that's as far as the intimacy will go.
I understand. I'm the stooge, and I shall keep my place, sir.
That's better. It's nothing personal, you know, but this is radio, you see. It's dog-eat-dog.
I know, sir.
Yes. And I've just finished eating that Mexican hairless Bergen.
Sir, I give you a toast to the new Charlie McCarthy Show.
Good. McCarthy marches on.
Well, Portland, Charlie and I rehearsed our act all the next morning, and about 2 o'clock that afternoon...
Okay, I'll write down your names. Which one is Pick and which is Pat?
This will cost you your job, young lady.
Miss Goober, I'm a busy man.
Yes, Mr. Lincoln.
Call a conference. Get all my vice presidents here in my office immediately.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and when they get here, cancel the conference. Tell them I'm a busy man.
Yes, sir.
Where's my portable desk? It's supposed to be wheeled around in front of me. Hand me a desk, somebody. I'm a busy man.
Hello, Mr. Leaf.
Miss Goober, who are these people?
Mr. Leaf, don't you remember me?
Who said that? Who's talking?
It's me. I'm down here.
Oh.
Yeah, about that radio job, you know?
Sorry, Mayor LaGuardia, we're full up on news commentary.
You remember me, Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, yes, I met you with Edgar Bergen.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Bergen, what a comedian. If you're with Bergen, it's a deal. Miss Goober, give this boy a contract. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, yes?
I'm not exactly working with Bergen on this show.
No, Bergen, no contract. Throw these tramps out.
Yes. But we've got a great act, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Lee, give us a chance.
Out of my way. I'm a busy man. Miss Goober, I'm on my way someplace. Where am I going?
To auditions for your radio program.
Oh, yes, yes. I love to audition actors. Hand me my gun.
Here, sir.
Yeah. Clear the way. Stand back, everybody. I'm a busy man. Where's the door? Oh, here. I'm off.
Gad, he is a busy man.
Darn that closet. Where's the door? Oh, here. I'm off.
Come on, Alan. We'll do an audition, too, huh?
Great. Here's the audition room.
Quiet! Mr. Leaf is starting the audition.
All right, let's go. I'm a busy man. Start singing, you.
Kiss me again. Kiss me.
Who's next?
The three Fosdick sisters. Get going, girls.
Do you hear that whistle down the line on the extended speaker?
In Santa Fe.
Next.
Next.
Are you ready, Mr. McCarthy?
Alan, you know, I've been thinking, suppose we change the act a bit. You sit on my knee in front of me, huh?
No, you're the star, Mr. McCarthy. You sit in front the way we rehearsed it.
Yeah.
Next, who's holding up the audition? I'm a busy man.
Is your voice ready, Alan?
Okay.
Remember, keep weaving so he can't draw a steady bead.
Let's go, Mr. McCarthy. We're Alan and McCarthy. We're the life of every party. We'll cheer you folks with quips and jokes. It sure will make you laugh. Ha ha! And if you want a song with us, you can't go wrong. By the light of the silvery moon, we'll sit and spoon. We're the life of every party. We're Alan and McCarthy.
Say, Fred, my girl can't wear liquid stockings.
Well, why can't your girl wear liquid stockings, Mr. McCarthy?
Because she can't get her leg in the bottle.
We're Alan and McCarthy. We're the life of every party.
Stop! Duck, Fred, the gun must have jammed.
Say, aren't you Fred Allen?
Yes, sir.
I need a man like you to take over my program. I'll call it the Fred Allen Show. Name your own price. I'm a busy man. Is it a deal, Allen?
Well, what about me here, Mr.
Allen? Yes, what about my partner?
The little guy is out. He has no talent. I'm a busy man. Goodbye.
At last, back on the air.
Yeah.
The Fred Allen Show. Gosh, I'd better phone Portland and Al Goodman and call up the other.
Yeah, we really put it over, didn't we, partner?
Partner?
Yes.
You heard what Mr. Leaf said.
Huh?
Scram, small fry.
Now, look, Fred, now.
Fred?
I'm sorry, Mr. Allen. I've decided maybe we should sort of co-star on the show.
Co-star on the Fred Allen Show? You know radio. It's dog eat dog.
Yeah, but Mr. Allen...
Beat it before I throw a termite on you.
Yeah, but kind sir, I'm not going to leave you here.
No, I'm not going to leave you here. Here's your car fare home. A nickel. So long.
Yeah, a nickel. What did I step into this time? A nickel. There's only one thing I can do with a nickel. Oh, well, let's go, McCarthy. Hello? Mr. Bergen? Guess who this is? Yeah, now, wait a minute, Bergen. No, but you got to take me back. Now, please. Yeah. Well, I'll work for 50 cents a week. 25? I'll work for nothing. I'll pay you. I'll be your slave, Bergen. Listen, if you'll only take me back this one time...
We'll be back again next week at the same time. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's Fred Allen from 1945. Next up, we have It Pays to Be Ignorant. Now, this was a comedy quiz show, I guess you'd say. It's more really of a comedy show, and you'll get what I mean when you hear it. Also from 1945, this is called What is a Cowhide Used For?
What is a cowhide used for?
To hold the cow together.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is an epistle?
The wife of an apostle.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
There you go. Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here is our first question, or rather, here is another session of that quiz program for people over 40 who are still in the third grade. We have a board of experts so dumb they think an elephant's trunk is something you put clothes in. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. High McNaughton, who has just written a book on Shakespeare entitled McNaughton at the Races or Macbeth. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. High.
I know.
Nellie bought a brand new dress. It was short, flimsy, and thin. She asked me how I liked it, and I answered with a grin, "Wait till the sun shines."
All right.
I'll
wait. Cut it out.
I'll wait.
Yeah, wait, please. Next, we have a woman who would like to wear slacks, but on her, there isn't any slack. A woman who will never have indigestion because she always chews her words. Here she is, a navy blimp with legs, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I went to see my dentist this afternoon.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had a tooth to be filled.
Uh-huh.
But he wanted to pull it.
He wanted to pull it.
I said, I don't want to pull it.
You didn't want
to. He said, I'll have to pull it. I said, oh, no, you won't. He said he would.
Wait a minute, please. How did it end?
It ended in a draw.
In a draw. Oh, that's ended in a draw. Look. Please, let's get on here. Next, we have a man who, when a boy at school, was voted the most likely to be assassinated. A man who likes to go out with sweater girls so he can pull the wool over their eyes. Here he is, the bottom step in that picture, the house on 92nd Street, Mr. George Shelton.
So, you know, I had a swell time last night, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
I was the guest of honor at a dinner. And boy, what a feed they dished out. And they brought me wine. Southern California 28.
Southern California 28?
Yeah.
Why, that's a gentleman's drink.
I didn't care. I drank it anyway.
I see. Well, I'm glad you mentioned California because the first question is about California this evening. Pay attention. Here it is.
Yeah. Coincidence.
That is a coincidence. All right. From what state do we get California grapes?
Mr. Howard, you mean grapes that grow on vines?
Yes, Mr. McNaught. I believe grapes do grow on vines,
yes,
over the land. Mm. Now, what state do you get California grapes?
Oh, Vineland, New Jersey.
Vineland, off the land. That is wrong.
I'm not surprised at that.
No, you shouldn't be surprised.
You know, I put up some grape jelly last winter, but it tasted like apples.
Grape jelly tasted like apples?
Yep.
What did you put in it?
Apples.
You shouldn't have asked that. Let's get back to the question, from what state do we get California grapes?
Don't they make wine out of grapes, Mr. Howard?
That's right.
I was at a dinner last night, and they brought me some Southern California 28.
You said that.
Well, wine always makes me repeat.
Ah, cut it out, please. An awful. Mr. Sheldon, what makes your head so soft?
Oh, I soak it every night.
I imagine.
I love a glass of good wine. I always take a glass of wine to bed with me.
Oh, you do, really?
Yeah.
Don't you ever roll over on the grass and break it?
Ah, Mr. McNaughton.
Hey, Mr. McNaughton, did you ever drink a zombie?
Drink one? I married one.
I was at a wedding in Atlantic City last week. They served wine. There was a fortune teller there, and I had my palm read.
I see.
Did your husband go to the wedding with you?
No, he went to a tap room.
I suppose he went there to get his nose read.
He went, please. Will you please give a little thought to the question? From what state do we get California grapes?
Say, talking about wine, I was standing at a bar the other night.
Standing?
Well, it was early.
I see.
Besides, Mr. Hart, I wasn't drinking.
I see.
You mean you didn't take a drink?
Well, I had a few nips with a few pips.
With a few
pips. Oh, and a couple of quips.
Yeah, and I had a quip.
All right.
You're like my old man. He says he doesn't drink.
No.
But last night when I got home, I found him down on his knees, fooling with the doorknob.
Fooling with the doorknob?
Yep.
What was he doing?
He said he was trying to get WABC.
I see. Probably waiting for the news. All right, the question is about grapes. California grapes. What state do they come from?
Do you drink, Miss McConnell?
I drink milk.
Oh.
I drink milk from contented cows.
Oh, I see. Isn't it easy to drink it out of a bottle?
That's what you should do, Mr. Sheldon, when you get thirsty. Drink milk.
Yeah?
Milk makes blood.
But I never get blood thirsty.
Chicken house.
How many rooms in the house, Mr. Howard?
As far as I know, Mr. McNaughton, there is only one room in a chicken house.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Howard.
Oh.
May I say that I find you very cooperative?
Oh, thank you, Mr. McNaughton.
Not at all, Mr. Howard. The pleasure's entirely mine.
That's very nice of
thank you.
Thank
you so
I'm
much.
Sure.
Carry on.
You're
Did you say there's only one room in the chicken house?
That's right.
The chickens all live in one
room? They all live in one room.
No privacy?
No privacy. All right.
Don't you know, Miss McConnell, there's a housing shortage.
Yeah.
You know, over at my boarding house, there's six of us in one room. And what a small room. The room is so small, the bureau hasn't any drawers. Just shorts.
Look, the question is about chickens.
Oh, it's about chickens, the question. Blonde or brunette, Mr.
Blonde, not that kind of chicken. Blonde.
I have a beautiful suite of rooms where I'm stopping, but I have to move. They're going to tear the theater and the hotel down.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, it was such a nice hotel. It's a shame to tear that hotel down.
Yeah.
I had such a nice suite. Suite 16 I had.
Yeah, well, you'll never see Suite 16 again. Going to tear the hotel and the theater down. She builds a theater in a couple hours. Now, let's get on with the question. What does a farmer keep in a chicken house?
Oh, I hate to move.
You hate to move.
Yeah, I got such a heavy trunk.
Yeah. You got thick ankles, too.
Say, Mr. Howard, you know I have chickens, too.
You have chickens?
Brother, one of my chickens is very, very sick.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it's got 1 foot in the gravy.
1 foot in the gravy. Mr. Sheldon, don't your Uncle Webfoot have chickens up at the farm?
No, he hasn't any chickens, Mr. Howard, but he raises cows.
Cows.
And you know what he's going to do? He's starting to feed the cows sawdust.
Feed the cows sawdust?
Yeah, he wants to get plank steaks.
Plank.
You're welcome.
Ah, oh, cut it out, please.
Ah, you know, it's a good idea, but it wouldn't work out.
Why not?
I know a farmer who fed his duck sawdust. He put a dozen eggs under one duck, and when they hatched, 8 of them were blockheads.
8 of them.
And the rest were decoys.
I see.
So I called up the man.
Never mind about the man. Rent yourself out as a decoy for a duck hunter, will you? Mr. Sheldon, you said your uncle had cows.
Yeah.
He has no chickens?
No chickens, just cows.
I see. Did he ever have chickens?
Well, one time he had chickens.
Oh, that's fine. Where did they live?
I don't know. I never asked them. They remind me of you.
Yeah.
You know, you're a dumb cluck.
Oh, I see. Thank you for the compliment.
I don't know what's the matter with my chickens lately. When I go out in the yard, they're laying there on their backs with their feet up in the air.
Their feet up in the air?
Uh-huh.
They're dead.
Oh. Yeah. So that's why they haven't been laying in the air.
Come to our contestants. While Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up here, we turn to the darkest side of our program, our Augustor. Dr. Novick mounts the podium, raises his baton, and from then on, the Augustor ignores him. Now we have 2 minutes of pain by Dr. Novick and his Novocaines. Dr. Novick.
Standing here at the microphone, Mr. Howard, is motor machinist made third class, Bucky Meade of the United States Navy.
Well, that's fine, Bucky. That's great. We're certainly glad to have you with us this evening, Bucky. How do you feel, sir?
Oh, pretty well, thanks.
Well, you certainly do look it. Where have you been stationed lately? Would you mind telling us?
Oh, the boat's out of San Francisco.
Oh, the boat is in San Francisco.
San
Francisco.
Well, hit me over the head with a crank handle and call me Itchy.
Yeah.
I used to work in that town.
Shut up.
Yeah, I was an umpire.
You were an umpire in a baker shop?
Yeah, I used to call batter up.
Batter up.
boy, I made a lot of dough.
Yes. You got an awful lot of crust, you crumb. Bucky, I'm really sorry for the interruption. How long have you been to service, Bucky?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Congratulations, my boy. That's marvelous. How do you stand on points? Do you expect to get out soon?
Oh, about another 6 months.
6 months.
Well, I got a letter from my nephew. He's got over 100 points.
He has.
Yeah, I hope they're red ones.
You hope they're red ones.
I can sure use some meat.
Yeah. Trouble with you is you got too much meat.
Oh, shut up, you old decayed turnip.
Yeah.
Why ain't you in the army?
Yeah. For the same reason you're not in the Follies. I ain't not in the army. Shows you how nearsighted she is. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this interruption, Bucky. What'd you do before you entered the service?
I was going to college.
Oh, you went to college. I see. What position do you hold in the service? I mean, what is your work in the service? Boat are you on?
I'm on submarine service.
Submarine service. That's marvelous.
Oh, that's odd, you know. You know, Bucky, in the last war, I was in the submarine service. Oh, rather, yes, I was on a submarine, but they transferred me.
I see. What was the trouble?
I used to sleep with my windows open. I see.
Submarine service in this war.
They did.
Yeah, because I knew all the dives.
I
say, you know, Mr. Shelton, the name of my sub was the Big Dipper.
Yeah. The name of my sub was the Donut.
The Donut.
And they kept dunking us.
Yeah,
all
I imagine. This is awful. Well, Bucky, it certainly is great to have you with us tonight, and we're proud of you.
Yes,
I'm sure.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here.
What's your first name?
Bucky.
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 Bucky. All right, honey. Bucky, Lucky, Ducky. Bucky. He's a big one, huh?
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know they come that big.
Please, Miss McConnell.
I was 30 years younger. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can just call me Racehorse. I'm good in the stretch.
Yeah. So is your girdle. That's awesome. Will you reach into the dunce cap there, Bucky, please, and pick out a question for us, and would you be kind enough to read it, if you don't mind?
The Merchant of Venice lived in what city?
I like that. That's very nice. The Merchant of Venice lived in what city?
Well, Mr. Howard, tell me, what was the merchant's name?
Mr. McNaughton, his name is unimportant.
Unimportant?
Yes.
What's his first name?
Antonio.
Antonio, unimportant.
Yeah, okay, yes.
I'm not conscious of having met him.
No, he didn't have a middle name. Maybe that would have helped you out.
Well, what does he look like, Mr. Howard?
Look, he is not a living person.
Then how do you expect us to know him if he's not living? Oh, you are a dumb cluck, you are.
Look, he lived in... This man I'm talking about lived in fiction.
Oh, well, then, there's your answer. I mean, if he lived in fiction, that must be the city he's from. Fiction.
I see.
Is that in North or South Carolina?
I mean, he lived between the pages of a book.
Must have been awfully stuffy in there.
He was a character from Shakespeare.
So what? I'm a character from Brooklyn.
You... Listen, Mr. Sheldon, you're an imbecile.
Well, it's about time you were admitting it.
I see.
About time I got a little credit around here.
All right. Haven't any of you ever read Shakespeare?
What has he written lately?
Look, Shakespeare's been dead over hundreds of years.
Oh, then Miss McConnell ought to have known.
I imagine.
My old man knows a lot about Shakespeare.
Oh, really? Is he a bookworm?
No, just an ordinary worm.
I see. Will you please tell me, The Merchant of Venice... Look, it's a play. It was written by Shakespeare.
Ah, Shakespeare, the immortal beard.
The beard?
Yeah.
The word is bard, not beard.
Oh, come now. Why split hairs?
Why split hairs?
You know, I was in a play once by Shakespeare, Much to Do About Nothing.
Oh, really? What were you in the play?
He was nothing.
That's something,
yeah. Can we please get back to the question?
I love the theater. I am the theater.
Yeah. Well, your mezzanine is bulging.
You know, You know, speaking of the theater, I shall never forget the time I played Romeo and Juliet. My great triumph was in the balcony scene. I held Juliet in my arms, my heart was aflame, my lips were burning, my soul was on fire. So they put me out.
They put you out?
Yes, no smoking in the balcony.
Well, I went to see a play last week. I'm going back to see the second act next week.
Well, how come you didn't see the second act last week?
I couldn't. The program said second act 2 weeks later.
Ain't this awful? It gets worse.
I say, you know, I'm writing a story now. I'm writing a story about oatmeal, cornflakes, and puff rice.
Is it a short story?
No, it's a serial.
It's a serial.
Say, you know, Mr. Howard, I'm somewhat of an actor.
Wait a minute, you're an actor?
Yeah.
An actor must be debonair, sophisticated, suave.
That's me, a debonair, sophisticated slob.
Playing 6 weeks in advance. Now, who's our next contestant, please?
Our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is Seaman First Class Marjorie Armstrong of The Wave.
Fine. How do you do? Good evening, Miss Armstrong, and welcome to It Pays to Be Ignorant. We're glad to have you with us. How do you feel this evening?
Fine, thank you.
Well, you certainly do look it. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Gloversville, New York.
Gloversville, New York. Oh, yeah, fine place. They make a lot of gloves up there, I believe. Is that
yes.
right? That would suggest such a occurrence. Gloves.
That's nice work, you know.
What's that?
That's nice work.
What?
Making love.
I didn't say making love. I said making gloves.
Oh, wow. I was only kidding.
Kidding? Ah, oh, please, cut out the pun.
When he said love, he swayed me for a minute.
He swayed you. That's very cute. Pay no attention to them, Miss Armstrong. Well, are you stationed in New York?
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, you're stationed. That's marvelous. Brooklyn. Oh, good old Brooklyn. It saved many a radio program, that word. Well, we certainly are glad you're with us here tonight. Tell us something. You're stationed in Brooklyn. What did you do before you entered the service?
I was a student nurse.
Student nurse. That's nice. How are all the students?
Oh, fine.
Good.
I was out with a registered nurse once.
You were out with a registered nurse.
I didn't register.
You didn't register. Oh, Miss McNaught, will you tell me something? When did you first learn to like girls?
When I found out they weren't boys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to him, Mr. Armstrong. He's just a wolf in cheap clothing, if you know what I mean. Are you in New York this evening on a visit?
Just a visit.
Yeah. Are you having a nice time?
Fine.
Would you like
me to show you around after the program?
Never mind, please.
Can I help it if I like brunettes?
Uh-huh.
Brunettes? Why, I saw you out with a blonde last Monday night. Who was she?
She was the brunette I was out with Saturday night.
Let's get on here, please. Let's get on with the question. What do you intend to do after you get out of the service?
I think I'd like to go to college.
Well, that's a very good suggestion. I mean, it's a very good ambition to go back to college.
You know, Mr. Howard, I'm going to get a job in a department store doing Christmas.
Yeah, what are you going to be, Santa Claus?
No, certainly not.
You're not, huh? Well, you got the bag for it.
Well, they're going to put me on the main floor in men's underwear.
That I would like to see. Miss Armstrong, will you reach into the lunch cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And when you get one, would you be kind enough to read it, if you don't mind?
In what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur?
Thank you. In what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur?
Who's a cur?
Stop. Now, wait a minute.
Well, I'm no cur.
Well, stop snapping at things. I said, in what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur?
Did you say the blizzard of 1888, Mr. Howard?
Right.
Wasn't that the year we had snow?
Snow. Mr. McNaughton, Mr. McNaughton, you're wonderful. In a nauseating way.
Well, thank you so much. I like you too, Mr. Howard. You're so repulsive.
Thank you. Mr. Sheldon, do you know what a blizzard is?
Sure, that's the inside of a chicken.
No, no. Inside of a chicken. That's a gizzard.
No, no. A gizzard is what you use on a black eye.
Please, that's a lizard.
Oh, a lizard. No, no, no. I saw that picture.
What picture?
The Lizard of Oz.
The Lizard of Oz. That awful. That's Wizard. Wizard, I'm talking about a blizzard. A big blow.
Now we're back to Mr. Howard again.
Thank you.
Boy, I got that one in.
Look, the question is, in what year did the blizzard of 1888 occur?
What time of the year did it happen, Mr. Howard? Summer or winter?
All right, it was winter.
Oh, that must have been the winter my Uncle Webfoot used to tell me about.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
What did he say about it?
He said it was cold.
He said it was cold. I see.
He said it was so cold that year he knew a 33rd degree Mason who went down 10 degrees.
It was cold. Tell me, what year was that, Mr. Sheldon?
It was the year of the blizzard, you dumb clown.
All right.
He said he never saw so much snow.
Well, tell me, how deep was the snow on the average?
Oh, the average was all covered up. You couldn't see it.
Well, I think there's a cold wave coming now.
A cold wave?
Yeah. That's a service girl who says no to a sailor.
Please, can we get on with the question?
You know, down where I lived last winter, I put a bucket of hot water outside the door, and I went out 10 minutes later, and it had frozen that quickly, the ice was still warm.
Ain't that tough?
Well, it was pretty cold out our way last night. My teeth chattered so they woke me up.
Well, why didn't
I had to get up and put them in another room.
Really? Why didn't you take a hot water bottle to bed with you to keep your feet warm?
Well, I tried it, but I couldn't get my feet in it.
I see. Thank you. Well, that's about all for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll try. In fact, we will be back with you this time next week, so try and be with us. Now, here is that frozen baritone from the blizzard of 84 to tell you just what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feed. They had to
for the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.